Welcome back. The world was thrown into technological vertigo after the death of Apple CEO Steve Jobs last month. Videos of Jobs' now legendary product introductions replayed across networks and social media, highlighting just how Apple has propelled personal tech forward in just the last 10 years. With a few weeks past, it feels like the right time to consider the identity and future of Apple in the post-Jobs era. Rob Fleischman, our go-to oracle for all things Apple, is here with some predictions on what Apple will come up with next. And Rob, it's great to have you back on Word of Mouth.
It's great to be here, Virginia. Thanks for having me.
So, hit us. Can we expect another Apple game changer or maybe just some updates on their already proven innovations?
Well, I certainly don't have any inside information, but I could tell you I'm pretty optimistic that Apple is going to conquer the TV universe next. The TV device itself is really ripe for revolution.
That's funny that you say revolution because I think of it seems almost backward, you know, from building interactive technology that is beautiful, that already integrates the viewing experience, back to the sit on the couch and flip through the channels.
Well, it's similar to what Apple did with the phone. Think about TV. TV really hasn't changed for the user much in years. People point to high definition. People point to flat screens. But the bottom line is we are standing here looking at an array of rectangular pixels. And what do? We spend our lives plugging additional things into our TV to fix the problems with it. We plug cable boxes in. We plug DVRs in. We're all plugging things into our television to address the problems with it.
So it's integrating all those things. So if, for example, my phone connected to my computer, connected to my TV, to my camera, so on. Is that what we're looking at?
I think something similar. I view it as the following. I think that if I were to guess, I think Apple is going to evolve the iPad into something like a television.
That's what I was wondering, a big giant iPad?
Imagine if you took a giant iPad and stuck it on your wall. Of course, you'd have to have some other advances. For example, maybe every iPhone or iPod or other things could be your remote. Maybe you could use technology similar to the Nintendo Wii, where you're waving at the screen, and that's able to control things. But I think something in that direction is probably coming out of the Apple Labs.
Well, I understand that you have brought a friend with you today, Rob. Many of you at home may be well acquainted with our guest. Now, we've got her microphone already here. Would you like to introduce Siri to our listeners?
Sure. Let's see what she has to say today. What is your name?
My name is Siri.
Okay, so this is Siri. This is the iPhone 4S. So it's an she talks to you, Siri.
She can respond to some requests with voice. A lot of things she responds to with just displaying information on the screen. But there's quite a few things you can ask her where she'll just talk right back to you. And you should give it a try. Here, I'll hand it to you. And you can just push the microphone button and Siri will listen and respond.
That's the microphone button right there.
You got it. Just push that.
Oh, and then it gives you a script of what you've said. Okay, let's see. Siri, I have a friend coming in for dinner tonight, and I was hoping to bring her someplace, maybe ethnic, near Concord.
I found a number of restaurants in Concord.
Okay, so if I press one of these, will it tell me about them, or she's just giving me the answer?
She'll give you the answer, and then it'll bring you to it.
Okay, all right, this is pretty good. Siri, do I need a raincoat today?
It doesn't look like it's going to rain today.
And then she pulls up the weather report. Oh, this is really good. You can have meaningful conversations. Or can they be meaningful, Rob?
Well, I'm not sure that Siri's quite that smart yet. But, you know, there is a bunch of funny things you could ask her about the meaning of life and how she feels about you. But Siri's pretty limited to its ability to access information on your phone and search the web and look at your calendars and your contacts. Siri, do you love me?
I respect you.
Will you still respect him in the morning?
Will you respect me in the morning?
I don't know what you mean by that. Will you respect me in the morning?
Well, Rob, okay. I can understand the kind of novelty of this, right? You know, showing your friends, doing this kind of stuff. Do you really use Siri? I mean, is it just as easy for you to do a web search and send a text on your own?
You know what I've used Siri for actually so far is when I'm in the car, if I remember something and need to send a message or remind myself of something later, Siri's useful.
How much of a get is this technology for Apple? I mean, we've heard voice recognition. You can do commands to your car, for instance.
Absolutely. The big innovation here is in two areas. First, as you said, voice recognition has been around for a while, and the voice recognition that Siri's using is pretty good. I wouldn't say it's the greatest in the world, but it's very good. It's pretty fast. But that's available on a lot of platforms, and you can buy voice recognition software for your computer, and a lot of mobile phones have it already, and as you said, cars have it. But the real innovation here is when Apple bought Siri the company, they got a technology that allows them really to do some understanding of words. So they got contextual analysis and the ability to take words like sure and understand that that means yes in certain contexts. And that really is a huge win for Apple. And I think they're going to leverage that, and I think they're going to expand Siri throughout all the abilities the iPhone has. And you can imagine, as I talked about earlier about Apple TV, imagine the ability to command your TV via voice. And that's really going to be critical in an area where you might not have a remote. So I think that that technology, the two together, are revolutionary.
So you'll be able to say, how come there's nothing good to watch on TV?
Maybe you'll be able to say, show me the things I like, or show me something good on TV, Siri, and it'll be able to take a guess.
Well, Rob, thank you so much for joining us today and for bringing Siri along. She's quite entertaining.
It was great fun. Thanks for having me. Goodbye, Siri.
Okay, Robert. See you later.
Rob Fleischman is a serial inventor, entrepreneur, and chief software architect at Zerocol. And Siri, the Apple iPhone 4S personal assistant, is pretty much everything from secretary to know-it-all to stand-up comedian. Siri, how much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood?
42 cords of wood, to be exact. Everyone knows that.
That's good.
We've spoken on this program about video games as big-budget popular entertainment. There may be no better sign that video games have come of age than the over-the-top rollouts for new titles that, as independent producer John Lynch reports, now rival Hollywood blockbusters.
Fall is a time for warm apple cider, raking up leaves, and taking in the changing autumn foliage. Unless you're a gamer. For gamers, fall is a time of polishing their finest dragon-slaying helms, oiling their assault rifles, and hoping their significant other is turning a blind eye to the checking account. Where summer is the season of blockbuster movies, fall is the domain of big-budget AAA game titles, all of which are vying for your $60 with the most bombastic marketing hype possible. Electronic Arts, one of the largest publishers in the game industry, put out a trailer for the recently released Battlefield 3 that sounds nearly indistinguishable from every Hollywood war movie trailer ever made. Take a listen to what I mean.
Hours ago, I get a call from Homeland Security saying there's a Marine in detention I need to talk to.
Gentlemen, as you know, we're dealing with insurgents crossing over from Iran.
You want us to believe that there's a PLR threat and Solomon's at the head?
You're the quick reaction force, gentlemen.
Get down on the ground! I said get down on the ground!
Rogue Nuclear Warheads, a trailer with a dark past, and scene after scene depicting soldiers fighting the good fight to dubstep music. This, ladies and gentlemen, is mainstream marketing. Not to be outdone, Activision Blizzard, the publisher that also puts out World of Warcraft, has resorted to one of the oldest marketing tricks in the book, the celebrity endorsement.
You're fired up! Let's do this!
Okay, game on.
Watch and learn.
This ad for Modern Warfare 3 depicts a notably less portly Jonah Hill improving from lowly newbie status to grizzled veteran within the game. The whole thing is set to AC/DC in a tongue-in-cheek nod to 80s training montages. My personal pick for the best marketing, however, goes to Bethesda Softworks' Skyrim, a sword and sorcery epic that takes place in the fantastical world of Tamriel, the video game equivalent of Middle-earth. It's got a sweeping orchestral score, no shortage of trolls, and a burly warrior with a horned helmet. It's handcrafted to appeal to your inner dragon-descended Viking.
But there's one they fear. In their tongue, he's Dovahkiin, Dragonborn.
As if employing the ever-grave voice of Max von Sydow, who played the grizzled priest in The Exorcist, wasn't enough, Skyrim planned its launch on November 11th, 2011. Or, as Bethesda marketing materials ceaselessly refer to it, 11-11-11. Going one step further, the makers of the game promise any couple that has a child on 11-11-11 and named their child Dovahkiin in honor of the main character in the game gets the game for free, along with every other game the studio has ever made. It remains to be seen how many new parents will take them up on the offer. So when did video game marketing, which has historically been limited to trade magazines and industry website advertising, cross the threshold into the mainstream? The answer, unsurprisingly, is that it all has to do with money. With Xbox 360s and other game consoles becoming as ubiquitous as DVD players in homes, game publishers like Activision and EA have unprecedented access to consumers. And they're not just children. According to the Entertainment Software Association, the median age of your average gamer today is 37. It's this group that big publishers are looking to when planning their blockbuster campaigns. Whether or not all this mainstream marketing is effective remains to be seen, but it's estimated that nearly 1.5 million gamers showed up to wait in line at the midnight launch of Modern Warfare 3 this week. And most of them were quite a bit older than 10. For Word of Mouth, this is John Lynch.
To see examples of extravagant campaigns from game publishers, you can visit wordofmouthradio.org. You can also follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. And Word of Mouth returns after the headlines from the BBC. This is NHPR.